Hello and welcome to another edition of the ACM QCast with your host, Mike Vizard. This edition is sponsored by Oracle, the leading provider of databases and application development tools, and we're going to be talking about tools specifically for the embedded systems developer with Mike Olson, who's the Vice President of Embedded Technologies for Oracle. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
What is the history, I guess, is where I'd like to get started, of Oracle in this space? And what do you see as the things that Oracle brings to the table in this particular market segment?
Well, you know, Oracle's been a hugely successful company in the enterprise for 30 years now. And really, that's what Oracle is known for. It's enterprise database management and more lately, enterprise applications. Several years ago, though, the company got interested in an emerging market where there was no real clear-cut leader. We call it embedded, but we'll have some time over the next few minutes to talk in more detail about what that means. Oracle had developed some internal technology aimed at that market, a special version of the database called Oracle Database Lite. But then in addition, Oracle made some strategic acquisitions. About 2 years ago, bought a company called Times10, and Times10 had a high-performance in-memory database. And then about a year and a half ago, Oracle bought a company called SleepyCat Software. SleepyCat made BerkeleyDB, a low-level embeddable database engine, and that's when I joined Oracle. I was CEO of SleepyCat before coming here.
When you talk about what the definition of embedded systems marketplace is, can you expand upon that? Because a lot of people just think that's about, you know, a box and a device. And yet, as we look around the world these days, we're seeing technology everywhere. So how is the definition of this market changing, and how does that affect how you approach it?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, going back now 10 years or so, there were special operating systems for embedded systems. And when you talk about embedded systems, many people think of the 8 or 16-bit controller that runs your car engine, not real computers, but special purpose, tiny little things. That's not what we think of as embedded. And I think that's not where the real interesting activity is in the market these days. What we're seeing is that serious computing power is moving out of the data center and getting distributed around the environment. I mean, these days, everybody's carrying an iPhone and using Wi-Fi through wireless routers to talk to middle-tier servers in the internet and access web-based backends to do transactions while they're driving their cars. That complicated computing environment, lots of computers in lots of places, connected by reasonably fast networks, has totally changed the way people think about building apps. Apps aren't built to run anymore on a desktop or on a server particularly. Little pieces of the application are spread across each of the pieces in that network. If you're making a call on your mobile phone, you certainly need software on your phone, but you also need devices in the network that can catch that call, can decide whether or not you're allowed to make it, and can think about how to route it to the next stage. So for us, embedded is that entire collection of opportunities, all of the computation that happens outside the data center where all of the innovation is happening in hardware these days.
And what kind of challenges does that create for the developers? Because you're not really having such a neat targeted platform anymore, and yet you have to write an application that's going to have to run somewhere that you don't really know where it's going to have to run down the road.
Well, that's right. For a specific piece of an application, I think most developers have a good idea of the hardware they're going to deploy it on. But it used to be the case that when you learned to be a computer programmer, you would target a certain kind of architecture, you know, single or multiple CPUs with fair bit of memory and reasonable storage available. Not all computers look like that anymore. Sometimes there's no spinning disk at all. Sometimes there's a bunch of memory. Sometimes there's very little. Sometimes you have to worry about power management on these mobile devices that are running on batteries, whereas you don't have to in the data center or in boxes that can be plugged into the wall. The diversity in that deployment environment is really what makes things complicated for developers these days. They need to figure out what piece of the application they're building and what architecture it's going to run on. And the requirements in those places can be very different. So if you need to store data on a cell phone, you have very different requirements than somebody who needs to store data on a high-performance stock trading device that runs at the front end of a big investment bank, for example. We would view both of those as embedded opportunities, but you need different tools and different technologies to make that stuff work.
And how does the Oracle product line stack up against that opportunity? Because, you know, the history of it is You've got the Times 10 database. There's the SleepyCat technology. There's also the core Oracle database. How do these things come together to create some kind of architecture?
Well, you know, one of the key things that I try to point out consistently is people think of Oracle database, the big product that's driven the company for the past three decades, as an enterprise database that belongs only in the enterprise, that you have to have a lot of high-powered DBAs to manage. In fact, we see a lot of uptake of Oracle Database 11G in embedded environments. Now, granted, they're embedded environments where there's a fair bit of hardware to throw at a problem, but there are a lot of those in the world. So lots of people are using big Oracle Database to solve problems in an embedded way. Likewise, though, there are places where you need a smaller footprint, Berkeley DB or Oracle Lite, for example, or special purpose services, extremely fast response times with an in-memory database like Times 10. Because the requirements at different tiers in the network are very different, we think it's important to offer developers a choice of products. One of the reasons that we were excited about joining Oracle from SleepyCat is that we would no longer be a single tool company selling to very smart developers, but we'd be part of a larger company that had a number of different options, and we could target the technology that would best solve the problem at the opportunity. So a developer didn't have to choose Berkeley DB or nothing from us. We could say, if you've got a piece of the application that's running in the enterprise, then certainly Oracle Database is there. If you need something to run on your mobile handheld, then Oracle Lite was designed to do that. And we've got pieces for the middle tier as well. We think that diversity in the products is an important differentiator for the company. It makes us a better partner for an embedded developer.
Now, how complicated are the tools? Do I have to be a team of eight guys in lab coats to master this, or is this something that's going to become more available mainstream?
Well, of course, all of these tools are aimed at developers and are pretty mature, so you don't need to be a five-star wizard in order to make this stuff work generally. We've got lots of experience, and we provide development tools and guidance, and we can even give training and consulting on how they work. But fundamentally, these tools are built by programmers, and they're used by programmers to solve real-world problems. And we've got a bunch of experience doing that. There are IDEs, debugging guides, best practices, and all of that available. But, you know, one of the really exciting things that's going on these days is, with all of that innovation happening out there in the network, with all of these new devices and all of these new kinds of computation evolving and emerging, there are lots more developers who are specifically expert at a part of the problem. So writing mobilized applications, right? Expertise that maybe we at Oracle don't particularly have. We've got good tools for supporting those guys. We can let them go build cool and innovative solutions on top of Oracle technology. We don't have to become expert at what they do. We just have to be very, very good at the pieces of the problem that we solve. And frankly, we're the most experienced and successful database vendor on the planet. We're very proud of the product offerings that we've got, and we think we're a great partner for developers.
Now, what types of applications do you think are driving the demand in this particular space? I mean, what do you think is a killer application for this type of tool?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that problem a lot because I go out and talk to people about this. The problem in answering it is that the variety and availability of compute and network power is growing so quickly that it's very hard to stop still today and say, aha, here's the one thing. If I had to say, you know, what's the underlying technologies that are most driving this? It's fast CPUs and good connectivity just about everywhere that many people go these days. So that's sort of the hardware platform this runs on. That enables all kinds of innovation and new development of applications. We can't really predict what the successful killer apps are going to be in the future. All that said, we do see lots of success in embeddable opportunities in a whole bunch of different markets. I mean, you can think of services that are kind of online, you know, identity management, who am I, stock trading applications, things like that. Hardcore database management problems, specific and very demanding reliability and response problems, and those are places that embedded technology is getting used more and more, and Oracle's products have been successful. There are infrastructure systems. Think of mobile telephony. I've mentioned it a few times. You know, you need compute power at the base of every cell station. You need decisions made in the network about how to route calls and whether calls are allowed to go through based on the balance in your minute account. In addition, not just mobile telephony, but switching and routing for network packets is important. Services like online storage, you got to keep track not just of the bits in the file, but the bits about the file. Who owns it? When was it created? All of those are places that embedded technologies are increasingly getting deployed. You might not need the full power of Oracle Database 11 there, but you don't want to lose those bits. It's important that you have them. And then finally, you know, there are vertical markets, and this list is almost endless. But for example, manufacturing and process control. So, you know, running the computers that make the shop floor operate, that control the assembly lines, right? That's a place where lots more computing is happening than ever before. Security, and by that I mean, yeah, software security, protecting systems, making sure that we log who gets in, but also physical security in buildings. Who's where and what badges have I seen? That's a data management problem. Actually, a really interesting vertical in which there's lots of innovation right now is medical devices. More and more complicated diagnostic and patient management machines are coming online, and lots of them have a lot of compute power built into them and are great opportunities. So, you know, I could go on for a long time. The short answer is that there's so much computation happening in the environment these days that we're seeing more and more verticals and more opportunities for embedded technology.
Now, these applications can not only be built anywhere in the world, but they'll run anywhere in the world. What do you guys provide people in terms of some kind of support infrastructure for thinking about developing applications on that kind of scale?
Well, you know, here I could look backward at my experience at SleepyCat and contrast that to what we see here at Oracle. We were a successful but tiny 25-person company, and when we worked with partners in Japan or in Germany, we had a really hard time providing training and technical support and other services to them because they were halfway around the world from us and they were working in a different language than we were. One of the big advantages of working with a partner like Oracle is that we're able to provide not just products, but also our global brand and services organization. So we can generally provide technical support in your time zone and in your language, no matter where you are. And that's just a standard part of our offering. You know, 24/7, you can pick up the phone and you'll be speaking to a clueful person from Oracle who can help you out. That's very important. Also, the fact that we've got consulting and training organizations distributed in the same way as our support team. So if you need us to come in and help you build an application, if you need us to come in and spin up your team so they understand how to use these technologies, and even know what the best practices are in the industry, right, we can do that. It's an advantage that scale gives a company like Oracle, and it's a real one for our partners.
As I listen to the conversation that takes place in the marketplace these days, there's a lot of concern about client computing versus software as a service models, and now here we're talking about embedded computing. How do you think this will all come together? Is this going to be a blended model eventually and all these things will interact? And what kind of challenges do you see going forward if you looked in your crystal ball a few years out?
So actually, that's a really good and interesting question. If you took a time machine and went 10 or 15 years back, you know, the model that everybody had of what is a computer program and how do you interact with it is you had to buy a box and you had to sit in front of it or maybe connect to it over a network, but talk specifically to that one box. As I've said several times during this conversation, the way that applications get built and deployed these days is not in one place, but across a swath of devices that provide different services at different tiers. Right. It's about being connected and doing the right kind of computation in the right place. Data has velocity in the network, but it also needs to live in the network. And how you treat it and where you store it changes depending on the application you're building and the hardware that you're going to be running on. All of that said, I think that we're just in the middle of this continuing shift in availability of cycles and transmission in the technical world. I don't think there's a simple answer for what we're going to end up with. I do predict that it's going to be increasingly true over the next decade that network-based services, components running in distributed places and offering predictable, is it REST, is it JSON, is it SOAP, I don't know what the API is, but predictable network-based interfaces to their data and services. That's the way that applications are going to be built. You're going to want to make each of those components as robust and rugged as you can, So, hey, by the way, you need good recoverable data storage services. But you're also going to have to think in a new way about complexity and performance tuning and reliability when you've got computation, not just on one box that you can control and monitor, but spread across the network, and some of the pieces may be outside your control. It's an interesting time to be a computer programmer. You've got a lot more places where you can deploy code, but you've got to think about building applications in a way that we never did when we were coming up through school.
So everybody wants to live an interesting time. So what's your best advice to people who are listening to this podcast about how they should approach their jobs and their careers for the next few years out?
Well, I think I'd focus first on the idea of building distributed systems, on thinking in small component-based pieces that are connected to other pieces. I wouldn't think monolithically anymore about an application I built. I might still use some monolithic components. I mean, certainly the Oracle database is a big and capable piece of centralized software. But I might not need to talk to it on the same box as it was running on. I might want to talk to my data services across the network. So I would look at performance tuning and application design in a very object-oriented and distributed way. I think that that's going to be a critical skill for people to have. It's an obvious thing to hear me as a vendor say, but I think it's also true that you want to buy what you can and build what you gotta. I think you'd like to work with industry partners, best-of-breed tools, when you can. And I think that Oracle's portfolio of embedded technology is at least worth a look for developers who didn't know that we had it before. We do this stuff better than anybody in the world. We work very hard to be excellent at it. And we'd rather not be expert in the domains that our partners are. If we're working with a medical device vendor or a shop floor automation company, we can't possibly be as smart about what they do as they are. We can only be smart about our part. In that sense, you know, I think that the business of building software is becoming distributed in the same way that the act of deploying and managing the software is.
So you really have to think about how your software is going to be a good citizen in a global environment going forward, and that's kind of the mindset you want to be in when you're writing the code to start with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that's a good way to look at it.
All right. This has been another edition of the ACM QCast with your host, Mike Vizard. This QCast has been sponsored by Oracle. We invite you to check out www.oracle.com for more information. And I want to thank Mike for being on the show.
Thanks a bunch for having me.
And we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.